You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
The new government's plans to repeal fair pay legislation has been met with staunch opposition from union groups. Last week, it was revealed that the Minister for Workplace Relations and Safety, Brooke Van Velden, had neglected to meet with union representatives before starting the process of repealing the legislation. I spoke to a union organiser from the Amalgamated Workers Union about the effects that repealing the fair pay legislation will have.
In the broadest terms, what it allowed groups of employees to do is come together by petition and negotiate industry-wide minimum standards. So, you know, if you want to take construction, for example, or bus drivers, what's our bottom line of what's reasonable to pay in that industry? And it's not an unusual piece of legislation. It's somewhat reflective of what's going on in Australia, and industry standards or broader-based sector bargaining is common in a great many OECD countries, and it's usually closely connected with what you call successful mid to high wage economy. So what it allowed us to do is say, in any given industry, what's an appalling level of pay? Who are the employers who are undercutting and beating the other employers by underpaying and ripping off their staff? And how can we set standards to avoid that behaviour? It didn't set a concrete set of conditions. It just set a minimum below which you're not allowed to go.
One of the criticisms of the fair pay legislation was that it, quote-unquote, limited flexibility and wouldn't be helpful as a one-size-fits-all solution. Are those criticisms valid?
No, because, I mean, it's not a one-size-fits-all. There's no upper limit. It sets minimums. So if you look at what happens in Scandinavian countries, what happens in Australia, all it does is set the bottom line. And we do that anyway, right? We do that with minimum wages. We do that with the Holidays Act. We do that with rules around sick leave. We do that with rules around health and safety. What it would do, or what it would have done, is set the standards for what is okay and what's not okay. And I think what you'd find is the vast majority of employers would end up paying ahead of those minimum standards anyway. You know, we have a minimum wage, but most people pay above the minimum wage because that's how you compete to get the best staff. What it would have done, and there would have been some constraints, but those constraints would have been at the absolute bottom end, and it would have been constraints negotiated with the employers in the industry. So it would be employers and employees coming together and saying, what's unreasonable? Let's not allow unreasonable behaviour. And if you want to be a good employer, and if you don't want to pay your staff poorly, if you don't want to rip people off, you shouldn't have to compete with the cowboys out there that are willing to do that. And that's what the legislation was fundamentally about. It was about you getting control of the parts of the industry that were bringing the rest into disrepute.
And the new coalition government has committed to repealing the legislation within their first 100 days. I was just wondering if there's been any consultation with union groups about that.
No, absolutely not. And look, yeah, one of the things I'll say is it's relatively easy to do because none of these agreements have actually been negotiated yet. And the reason for that is there was this long, extensive process of engagement and discussion. And not everyone liked every part of it, but we went through a process with the last government. Employers went through a process with the last government, and they came to sort of a considered position. And the flip side of that is we've now got a government that's coming in. They might be talking to some people. They're certainly not talking to us. They're pushing this through under urgency. They're not looking at the implications. They've got their own cabinet papers leaked saying that this will be bad for working people that they claim to care about. And they're just ramming this and a whole pile of other stuff through. Which is, I mean, we'd say it's bloody anti-democratic, basically.
And I guess you kind of touched on it there, but I was wondering what the future is of fair pay agreements that have started the process already. Are they just going to be scrapped completely?
Yeah, well, look, there's no legal legislative basis for them to go ahead with. So while we can always talk to groups of employers through a multi-employer agreement, which is, you know, at the moment anyway, still possible within employment law in New Zealand, there's no framework. The purpose of this agreement or this process was really to set industry standards, as I said, to deal to the cowboys who are undercutting the decent employers. And, without the law in place, there's no way that these agreements have any force.
Speaking about the new government, I was wondering if there has been any policy that you've seen that you think might actually benefit workers.
Not yet, no. I'm sure that Luxon would say the tax cuts, but we've all seen how small they will be, how difficult they will be for the country to afford, and how they'll be outweighed by a whole range of other things like prescription charges and frankly, further erosion of our wages in comparison to places like Australia.
And I guess with the legislation being scrapped completely, I guess the question I wanted to ask was, what were the salient pieces of the legislation that you think should be looked at keeping or maybe reworked into different policy?
Well, I think we've gone through, as I said, it was a long process of consultation. It was a tripartite process with employers, employees and government. I think the place we'd reached, and a lot of credit here to Michael Wood, who was the minister who oversaw this process, was a really good compromise position. Now, if we had our way, we'd like something far more stringent and far more controlled and far more beneficial to unions. But what we had was a bit of legislation that had a clear intent to look after workers, particularly ununionised workers and small employers around the country in areas where they couldn't collectively bargain because there weren't enough of them, because they were isolated or because their employers were hostile. So I wouldn't mind if legislation came back in a different form, but the intent needs to be to protect those people who are vulnerable because where they are, they can't collectively bargain, they can't organise, and their employer has all of the power.
That was union organiser Hamish McCracken.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.